If you have a Bible, Romans chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles there in the pew. The pew Bible that you'll be using, if you're using one, it should be page 946, Romans chapter 10. We'll be starting in verse 13. While you're turning there, I will say greetings from Cedar Moore and Student Camp. That's where I've been for the last, I don't know how many days. They run together now. People are like, you're crazy. You came back from Cedar Moore. It's about an hour's drive from here to preach this morning, to head back this afternoon. And what you don't understand is this is a two-hour reprieve for me. Because as far as I know, I'm not going to have anyone surfing their bunk mattress down the steps of the foyer before I get finished with my message. So I don't know if you've ever tried surfing a mattress from a bunk bed down the steps at your camp, but if you haven't, don't ever do that. But it is absolutely such a privilege to be here. And I want to say, I try to say this every time I get a chance to be in front of you all, serving here and serving Hirschborn, serving you, has been the blessing of my life. And I want you to know that as one of your pastors, what God has done through you all in my life, serving with the staff and being able to serve you. Know as one of your pastors from the bottom of my heart, as much as if you're around me, you hear me talk of Tennessee, and I do love Tennessee. And I love home and I love family. If I went back 5 years ago and was asked, knowing what I know now, would you still leave? I would say without a hesitation, yes, because of what God has done here through you and through the folks here. And so thank you. Thank you for allowing me to serve. With that being said, let's turn to the Bible. If you are there, Romans chapter 10, verse 13, please stand as we read the Word of God. God says, for everyone, verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now as your people, as your sons and daughters, and we submit to your word. Holy Spirit, drive it deep into our hearts. Lead us into all truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So there's three things. Our time is probably a little more limited than usual, and I am often long-winded. So I will try to keep it to just three things here that I would like to consider today from Romans chapter 10. And that's this: the message, our mission, and God's motivation. The message, our mission, and God's motivation. I want to open by saying this statement. No one on this planet, not one single individual, not one single soul, no one will come to faith apart from hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. John, he shared that with us a moment ago, but I want us, and especially in our culture, in our society, I mean, it stings to think about that statement. No one on planet Earth, 7 point whatever billion people, not one of them will come to faith apart from hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 9, 4 and 5 says this, says they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. As we hear that statement about no one will come to faith apart from the gospel, it's hard for us to swallow. But what I want you to see here is in these chapters, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of the book of Romans, Paul is speaking to the fact that the majority of the Jewish people that he was speaking to, those who were the promised people of God, had rejected Jesus Christ. They had rejected salvation. And what he's saying in this verse we just saw in 4 and 5 is he says, they, Israel, to them belong the fact that they were chosen by God as his people. They got the covenants. They had the law, the worship, and the promises. Even Christ himself came from their race. If anyone could be saved apart from the gospel, apart from submitting to the message of Jesus Christ, it would be the Jews. It would be God's people. And he's saying, guess what? They're not. If they can't be saved apart from the gospel, then how little a chance does any other race on the planet have? So the truth is, there is no one who will come to faith apart from responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. This is a verse we all know if you're around the church much at all. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Again, let those words set on your heart. There are no one's going to come to faith apart from hearing this blessed message that most of us have heard since before we could hear. I don't even know how that works, but before we could understand it. We were hearing the gospel at negative 9 months. It's the one message that saves. Don't try to slide out from under that weight. Don't try to push it away and not think about it. Think about it. Dwell on it. Hold on to it. No one on planet Earth will come to faith apart from hearing and responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here is another beautiful truth. People will respond in faith when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. People will respond in faith when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know in Ephesians 2:9 it says we are saved by grace through faith. We know this faith is necessary. If you look in the verses you just heard us read in verse 16, it says faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. So we know now, though, yes, it is so heavy that every single person must hear and respond to the message of Christ in order to be saved. If we share the message of Christ, they will be saved. People will respond to the message because it will infuse faith. The title of the sermon, I think, in your program or your bulletin was The Instrument of Faith. What I want us to see and think about this morning as we consider the message, our mission, and God's motivation is the fact that God determined his means, the way in which he was going to bring faith to the world. And the way he did that was through the message of Jesus Christ, carried on the lips of those it had redeemed, responded to by sinners. That's the instrument of faith. That's how God, could God have said, everyone has faith, snap. He could have. He didn't. He said faith will come to this world. Faith will come to human beings. Faith will come to each individual soul by hearing this message, by responding on faith to that message. And that's what we're looking at this morning when we think about the instrument of faith, what God has instituted for those people who are in darkness and death and bondage to come to life. So let's consider the message first. The first thing we have, and when we think about the message, I put here, the message is what? It's about Christ. So we begin to look down at those verses. Verse 14 says this, Paul writes, how then will they call on him? And how are they to believe in him? Who's that him? It's Christ. Verse 17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Pastor Jeremy has done a wonderful job the last few weeks explaining that very truth to us. The message is extremely clear. Paul says, 1 Corinthians, you heard this last week, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died. Guys, the message that God has given that will bring faith to a soul is the message of Jesus Christ. And what is that message? It's super simple. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. I get so excited when I hear that, because so many times, when I think about myself, I realize often, especially when I'm sitting in classrooms on seminary campus, or really when I'm sitting downstairs with my students and they ask me questions that I can't pronounce the words, or I don't know the meaning of the words they ask me, I'm not the sharpest guy, right? I'm thankful for the guy I am. God's made me the way He did. But when I see the message and I think, God, You have tasked us with sharing the one message that will save mankind. And then He says, oh yeah, Chase, by the way, that message is Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We can take the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, and it's as simple as that to the world. And we can sit down with folks of every culture, of every background, and we can say to them, Jesus Christ, the God-man, lived, He was crucified on a cross, they put Him in a grave, and He rose the third day to prove who He was. And if you trust in Him, you receive the life that He offers. That is a great message. It's the only message that brings faith and salvation, and it's super simple. I'm so thankful when I read those words, when we think about what is that message. If you're here for the first time today and you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe that's the first time you've heard that message. That is the message of God. The message of God is He came to this earth to die on a cross to free you from your sins and to pay your sin debt so that you might have life forever. So the second part of the message is this. It's not just the fact that it's the message, but we learned from Pastor Jeremy also in the last couple of weeks that it's a response. It's a message that requires a response. And not just a response, but a correct response. Verse 14 says, and how will they call on Him? Verse 16 says, and they have not all obeyed the gospel. And if you slide back up to verse 3, you see that Paul actually writes this word, they did not submit to God's righteousness. All three of those words are telling us very clearly that this message that comes, it is the message that infuses a heart with faith. But it doesn't stop there. It requires a response. And what is that response? Again, if you're here for the first time, or maybe here for the thousandth time, the message of Christ, this message of salvation that God gave us through His word and asked us to go to the world with, is simple. Christ died. He rose again. And then Paul says this so succinctly, because, and he says this is the response, this is the correct response, because we know that there can be incorrect responses. That's what we saw in verse 3 and verse 16, is that the Jews didn't respond correctly. So this is the correct response to that message of faith, which is this. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So the message is about Christ, and the response is a response in faith, a confession of Jesus, you are You. I believe. You are Lord. I will follow. And this is the great next thing that we see, that message, that first story of Jesus followed by the response has the power to save. I want you to consider this just for a few moments. Verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We heard of 2 weeks ago, or maybe last week, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Guys, you don't have to have all the answers when you take this gospel message. The power is inside the gospel message. I grew up on a farm. I loved a farm. If I wasn't here, I would possibly be on a farm. I would like that. This is what I love about farming. If you're a farmer in here, I don't mean this negatively, but you don't have to be a super genius to be a farmer. You just have to work hard, right? Because when I go out in the field, we always had tobacco and we had corn and we had some cows. I just had to make sure the seed got in the ground. The power was in the seed. I put it in the ground, step back, watch it, and it would grow. Rain would come, sun would come, and the crop would grow. My job was just to work hard. My job was to get out in the field and plow the ground and lay the seed. And that's all I had to do, and I stepped back. Guys, that's what the gospel message is. When we look out across our street at our neighbors, or maybe at family members at a gathering, or we see the map and peoples around the world, and we think, oh God, I'm a follower of you, and I feel this life that you've given me, and I want them to know it and have it, and I want them to have eternal life. I want them to be out from under this penalty of sin. Oh, how could I help them? Jesus says, it's simple. Go tell them this great message, this simple message, and give them the chance to respond in faith. Let that encourage your heart this morning. One, if you're not a sinner, it's that simple. If you're a follower of Jesus and you want others to know, it's that simple. You can go and you can share the power-giving message of the gospel in 2 minutes with people of every culture. And it's going to save. It's going to infuse a heart with faith, because that's the way God works in His mighty power. We saw that. It's the power of God to salvation. I promise you, when I share the gospel, there's so many times I walk away thinking, what in the world? That was so clunky. And that was like, one of my favorite ones is talking to a guy, and he was on the side of the street, and I said, how you doing? He said, I'm fine. And I said, where are you coming from? He had some kind of athletic looking stuff on. He said, I'm coming from karate class. I said, karate class, good deal. I said, you want to hear about the greatest karate match that's ever been had? He looked at me and thought, what? I said, Jesus versus Satan. And he goes, no. I'm telling you, like, there's times when I think, oh, that was just, you know, I probably, but the deal is, it's the same message, and it's so simple, and we all love and know it. And it's just, it's a matter of us just speaking those words, because they have to hear the message in order to respond. It's the message of power that does not come back void. It's of first importance. I beg you this week, the conversations you get in, the places you go, when you think about the things you're going to talk about, please, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, don't miss this phrase, that this is of first importance. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Talk about that with the people you talk to this week. That is of utmost importance, above everything else you could talk about this week with those folks you'll meet. Let them know, in some way, Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Of first importance. Of first importance. Romans 8, 29 and 30 says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Guys, what I want to say there, I want you to see what Paul is saying. He is saying this. Not only is it going to infuse faith, are they going to be saved, but this is what happens when they are saved. The power of Jesus Christ says they will be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you've been walking with Christ for very long, I pray that you don't have to feel this as much as I do, but there are so many days I just say, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to love people like you love me. I want to care about things like you care about me. I want to do what's right. I want to follow your word. I want to obey. And what we know is that gospel is shared, as it was with me. If you accepted Christ and you're following him, he is at work making you into the image of Jesus Christ right now. You can look at all the still flaws you have there and you can say, you know what? I'm going to keep working on those, but I know the promise is I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We think about the world around us. We look at all of just the bad stuff, the bad people, the bad things. This message, this simple message of Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. Guess what it does? It takes the most wicked sinner, the darkest heart, pulls it out, replaces it with a flesh, light, life-giving heart. And that person who did the most despicable things you could ever imagine is now being conformed in the image of Jesus Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of this simple message. Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, since we have now been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can stand before the all-powerful being of the universe, the one who made all, who has the right to say where we go and how long we go there, and we stand before him completely in peace. That's what it does. The power of this message. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. We're going to hit these again in a second. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That one rocks my mind every time. I share with the students this morning, and I'll share with you now. For God has not destined us for wrath. Those who are in Jesus Christ, those who heard the word, this message of Christ, Christ died, buried, and risen again. Those who confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in their heart that God raised him from the dead and received the salvation and life that he offers, they are no longer destined for wrath. This is what I'm getting at. I, yesterday, got angry at students when I probably shouldn't have. I wanted to throw stuff at them. I sinned. And what I'm getting at, I sinned yesterday. But yet, when I stop and I look at God and I think, I feel, man, I should be punished for this. What he's telling me is through the gospel, all the wrath that was set aside for me, that was going to be poured out on me for an eternity in hell, he turned it on to Jesus Christ. And now I'm walking along still doing my dumb stuff, and he looks at me and says, there's no more wrath for you. He looks at me and says, you get all the stuff that Jesus should get. Like, I don't get that. Right? I hope you feel that freedom in Christ that you get, that you are not destined for wrath. You're destined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what you receive. The power of this simple message. Christ, dead, buried, risen on the third day. That you can share with any person on the planet that infuses them with faith, that allows them to confess Christ as Lord, that gives them life and removes the wrath from them. They get to walk the rest of their life with this freedom. They never look at God as thinking, oh, no matter what comes into their life, it could be a terminal illness, it could be their house burns down, it could be the worst set of circumstances you could ever imagine, where you stop and you think, God's got to be mad at me. And you're like, no, he's not. Because all his anger, all his wrath, all his punishment was placed on Jesus. That's what we receive in this simple message. This message of life, this message of Christ. The last thing I'll say about the message is this. The message is sufficient. If you look down just a little bit, we talked about it a second ago that Paul is talking about why, or answering the question of why have so many of the Jewish people neglected, rejected Jesus Christ, rejected the gospel. And so your thought might be, and your thought might be this today. You might be sitting here and saying, Chase, I hear you, but I've got a son that I've shared the gospel with for the last 25 years, and he's not following Jesus. Chase, I've got a husband that I've shared the gospel with for the last 35 years. He's not following Jesus. Chase, I've got a son that I've been sharing the gospel with for the last 10 years. He's not following Jesus. Better yet, he's running from Jesus. I don't think that your gospel message you're talking about, I hear you saying all this great stuff, but my life, my eyes, my heart, like what I see day to day, I don't think it's sufficient. And that's what people were looking at Paul and saying, hey, your own people don't even accept this message you're bringing. Is it sufficient? And Paul said, Romans 11:1, I myself am a Jew. He said, I'm an Israelite. Absolutely, it's sufficient. He said, I believe. What I want you to understand is this. God says, share the gospel. Plant the seed. That is the message by which faith will come. I can't tell you when. All I can tell you is this. God said, and he is faithful. Your job is to continue to plant that seed and bathe it in prayer. And plant that seed and bathe it in prayer. And plant that seed and bathe it in prayer. And trust the word of the Almighty God, who has never once not been faithful to his word. And let us, as your church, as your family, come alongside you and hold your hand and pray. On the good days and the bad, with you. And plant another seed and love on them. And pray for them, and plant another seed, and love on you, and pray for you, and hold you up when you're done. And you say, no, I don't believe anymore. Let us be that place. And you keep being faithful to the word. Because I promise you, faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. You just got to share it. You got to keep sharing it. And you got to trust that the God who loves us enough to die for us, who removed the wrath from our account and placed it on his son, is going to answer. He's going to be faithful to his word. It's a simple message. Christ died, buried, risen on the third day. believe and confess. So our mission. Our mission is this. We have a mission. If there is a message that has to be shared, which we just said there was, that simple message of Jesus Christ, and it must be responded to, then there has to be a mission to carry that message. And that's what we see. Verse 15, it says, how are they to preach unless they are sent? This whole section of scripture kind of hinges on this word. When you begin to look at it, you see, like, it starts out the way Paul starts out. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? He doesn't start with sent. He ends with sent. But if you kind of flip the argument, you understand that none of the other stuff happens if the first person doesn't go. Right? So if no one is sent, then no one will preach the message. If no one preaches the message, then no one will believe. No one believes, no one will call, right? So we see that it begins, it absolutely, the necessary point is you have to go. Please hear this, your job, John mentioned this, every single, you don't have to be a missionary to the other end of the world, but if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is your mission, your mandate, your command to carry this simple message to every person who comes into contact with you. That's your mission. Share the gospel. Some of us, that might mean one person in the next 6 weeks. One person that comes through our way that we know that person's not a follower of Jesus. I need to share with them. Some of us, it may be hundreds. Some of us, it may be, we may never leave the door of our house, or maybe the door of our hospital room. Some of us, it may mean going to China, or Morocco, or Russia, or Europe. Fill in the blank. But I promise you, we have a mission. That mission is to carry that message. We have to carry the message in order for people to believe. And where's it to take it to? It's to take it to everyone. You guys see this? Verses 11 through 13 says this. For scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same is the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hopefully you saw that word everyone jump up there a few times. Guys, again, the mission is to go, and the mission is to go to every single person. Every culture, every place, every street in Louisville, every house, is to go to everyone with the gospel. It's the only way anyone on the planet can and will be saved. So our mission is to go, and our mission is to go to everyone. But I want us to think about this too, because oftentimes we think, well, I need all the answers. No, you don't. You got the one answer they need. Jesus Christ, dead, buried, risen again. Confess and believe. Now, I'm not saying don't have other answers. Don't study hard. Don't try. I mean, scripture tells us that. I always have an answer for the hope that is within us. The true one answer for the hope that is within my heart is Jesus Christ. So that's always going to be the gospel message. But the one answer that they really need is the one answer you already have if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. So go. Do you have to be from a perfect church? Nope. Paul's writing to Rome. These guys were fighting between Jews and Gentiles. There was not a perfect church going on here. And he was telling them, go. Do you have to be a perfect Christian? Do you have to be John and Brooke Schreiner who spent years on the mission? No. You could have made the biggest mistake ever 2 minutes ago. Somebody walks up to you 2 minutes later. Guess what you can share with them? Jesus Christ, dead, buried, risen again. Confess and believe. The power's in the message. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone and everyone you see. I read a pastor recently wrote this statement. He says this, true Christianity is making known the gospel of Jesus Christ and its impact on people's lives all over the world. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that is true Christianity, is making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what we do. It's what we do. If it's not what we're doing, guess what? Start doing it. It's that simple. It is that simple. Last thing is this, and we'll kind of draw things to a close, is so we've got the message, we've got the mission, and the last thing is this, is God's motivation. God's motivation. When I think about sharing in my faith, and I think about why and why I do and why I don't, and I think about talking to kids and talking to you guys about going out here shortly and sharing your faith with others, and we think about the evangelism initiative that's coming up and what we want to do as a church, we want, as John said, first and foremost, it's a command. Don't miss that. Part of the motivation that we have is that my Savior and Lord, my King of Kings, looked at me and said, Chase, go make disciples. Chase, go share my message with everyone. So if I call him Lord, confess him as Lord, then I'm saying it doesn't matter how I feel or what else is going on. I'm going to go and do what he said. But ultimately, God wants our, he wants our heart, right? He wants it to be a delight as well as it should be. And so when I think about the motivation to go, where does that come from? God, where are you going to give us this motivation? And I love the way God works. Because we come back to the verse 17 where he says this, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. You know what's incredible about this message? This message saves us from our sins. It gives us peace with God. But you know where my motivation comes from to go and share that message with the world? The message about Jesus Christ saving me from my sins and giving me peace with God. Guys, I want you to be motivated to share the gospel. I want you to be motivated to live a life just all out for Jesus Christ. And that's going to look like a bunch of different things for all of us. Like John said, it doesn't just mean being a missionary or a pastor or whatever. It means being on fire constantly for Jesus Christ wherever you may be. And you're going to get there by doing this. Peering into the gospel of Jesus Christ. You spend time every day, all day, thinking about what it is that Jesus Christ has died and saved you from your sins. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. The only way I'm going to walk across the street is if I have a heart full of faith and a heart full of love. That comes from me looking back into the person and work of Jesus Christ day in and day out and day in and day out. So this message that you're going to go share with the world is also the same message that's going to sustain you every single day until you look on Jesus face to face for the first time in his kingdom and you say, my Savior and my Lord. You recount this message. You remember this message. You talk to yourself, tell yourself this message. You read about this message. You think about this message, you look at Jesus and you say, wow, what you did for me. He quotes Isaiah when Isaiah says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I really did want to preach barefoot today. I thought y'all would remember the message if I came up here barefoot. I also thought it might scare some people away. But that, I was just for a moment, consider, think about that again. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So many times in our lives we think, oh, this gospel conversation I'm about to have, I'm so worried and it's a burden and it scares us. And we tend to shy away from it. But then you start thinking about how beautiful are the feet who bring good news. Guys, the gospel is this message that saves those who are lost. I don't know if you've ever been lost. I spend lots of time in the woods, usually by myself. So when I get lost, I don't know I'm lost until I find myself. But the thing is, if you're lost, you're thinking, I just want somebody to come find me. Please. You're looking for the first light. Or in Eastern Virginia, a place where you go, they whistle you out because everything's flat. I'm from the mountains, so you've got points. I can be like, oh, I know that ridge and I know this ridge. When it's flat, you can't see anything. And so you just listen for a whistle. And you're sitting there and it's dark and you're in a swamp and you're thinking, just somebody whistle. Please, somebody whistle. Right? People are lost and they want to be found. And that's what this is talking about. When we think about the gospel, guys, we have the saving message of Jesus and we're to carry it to those who are dying to hear. And I want you to hear this too. Because so often in our culture, we think nobody wants to hear this message. I'm getting the door slammed in my face. People are saying no. Guys, when it says how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news, it means that somebody's out there looking, saying, please come save me. And we know that's the case. A little further down in scripture, or a little before this, Elijah, he's talking about Elijah, and Elijah is crying out to God, and he's saying, God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who hasn't bowed my knee to Baal. And God comes down and says, Elijah, no, you're not. There's 7,000 people who still love me and haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Guys, when we hear how beautiful are the feet, I want you to understand that there are thousands, millions out there who are broken and who are just begging, saying, somebody come and save me. And they're waiting for this very message. This very message. And when it comes, they're going to dance. They're going to respond. They're going to say, oh my goodness, I'm so glad you came. That may be you today. You may be here today and you may know life is just like you're looking for it, right? You're saying, Chase, I've tried it all. I just want an answer. I want something to come and save me today. If you're here and you hear, this is the message. This is the answer. This is the answer you're looking for in all of life. It is this message of Jesus Christ. And your response is just what we said. It's confessing him as Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead. That is the answer. But it's not just that. I also want you to think about this as you leave here today and you think about sharing your faith and hopefully going out and saying, I'm going to make this of first importance. Somebody brought this message to you. Somebody brought this message to you. Can you remember the day before knowing you had peace with God? Can you remember the day in which you were still under the weight of your own sin and eternal punishment in hell? Somebody brought this message to you. Somebody came and they said, Jesus Christ, dead, buried, and risen again. Confess him as Lord and believe. Just think about that. And then think, oh God, how could you love me so much? Because as that feeling, as you begin to meditate and remember the gospel in your own life, I promise you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you'll be like the guys on the road to Emmaus when they're walking with Jesus and they said, did our hearts not burn within us as he taught us from the scriptures? If you're sitting there and you're beginning to remember, Jesus Christ came and he died for me and somebody brought that message my way. And they shared that gospel with me and I am free and I'm free forever. And you know the life you live. You know it. You feel it, right? If you're a Christian and somebody comes to you and says, why do you believe in Jesus? And you say, because he's in me. I feel this life and this joy that doesn't go away regardless of circumstance. Nothing can put it out. You know those things. That's what came your way when that message came your way. And if that's in you and you begin to dwell on that, I'm telling you, your heart will burn with a passion to go out and to tell those who want that same peace. Jesus Christ died and he was buried and he rose again on the third day for your sins. And you confess and believe and you receive his life forever. You receive his life forever. So as we close, the gospel is of first importance. The instrument of faith to this world has not changed and will not change. It is the message of Jesus Christ, dead, buried, and risen again, carried on the lips of those he has already saved, calling sinners to confess and believe in Jesus Christ. That is our mission. That is our life's task. So may we be faithful with that. If you'll stand, we'll pray and respond. As the music guys come up, I just want you to know this. If you're here today and you know, I'm lost. You know, Chase, I'm broken. I don't have the answers. I'm looking for what you're talking about. Respond. Confess and believe right now in this simple message of Jesus Christ. If you're here and you've done that and you're doing that, I just ask you before you leave, would you please come and shake my hand and let me hug on your neck and say, praise Jesus. That would be awesome. This is a time for that if you want to do that. Also, if you just want to come and pray, maybe you're a believer and you've been here and you come all the time. And maybe just today you were reminded that you are saved. Let me just say that. If you know Jesus Christ, if you've confessed him as Lord, you are saved. Out from under the penalty and wrath of God, destined to be conformed to the image of his son, that is you. Praise God, that is me. Shouldn't be. If you want to pray about that, if you want to give God glory, amen. But if you need to pray with one of the pastors, we'll be up here as well.